begin Perek Hamishi, the fifth chapter, where we begin now the next part of the conversation regarding the eating of matzah and regarding the Seder night, where in this parak we discuss specifically regarding the halacha of chametz, something fermenting, and regarding how to be kashering the vessels to make them valid for the utility of Pesach. Let's now begin halacha off regarding first qualifying what is chametz. Ein asim shem chametz b'Pesach. There's no prohibition about fermented bread on Pesach, only from the five types of grain. So there's two types of wheat, which is wheat and spelt. They're under the category of wheat. There's three types of barley, the barley, what we call, and you have the oats and rye. Now, but regarding legumes, oats, rice, the millet, the pilum, and beans, badashim, and lentils, the ketsim, and all those types of category. In b'mishum chametz, that is no problem. Chametz elafila losh kamach oats, even if you're going to need a flour of rice, and b'kayetz very similar things, b'reischem boiling hot water. V'chesal b'begadim, you're going to cover it with garments. Al shenitpach until it inflates. Kamei botzak shechemetz, it's going to look just like a dough that is fermenting. Hadayze muta b'achil, that's going to be permitted to be eaten. She'ein zechimut, that's not considered fermentation. Elasirchen, it's decay. It's not the same thing. It looks to the naked eye like that, but it's actually very different, and it's not going to have the halacha of chametz. Halacha beis. Chameshes min nidagin elum. So these five types of grain, im loshen b'nei peiris bolvad, if it's needed, which means you mix the flour with just fruit juices, b'loy shemayim, without any water, lo'olam in boin l'dechim, it's never going to come to this halacha of fermentation, elafil hanichan kol yom, even if you leave it all day, achenit pechabatzik, until the dough gets inflated, mutta b'achil, it's permitted to be eaten, which the Rambam himself actually corrected with his own handwriting, the term ein chayim lov karis, which would sound like that there is a prohibition, just no chiyuv karas, because she'in may pay this machmitzin el masrichim, because fruit juices don't ferment, they just cause decay. Who may pay this, and what's considered fruit juices? Kagoin, for example, yain, wine, b'cholav, and milk, b'dvash, and honey, b'shemen, zeis, and olive oil, and tapuchim, and apple juice, and maidamayim, and pomegranate juice, b'chol kayitzabahen. All similar types of things, mishar yainis, ushmanim, amashkin, other types of wines, and oils, and beverages. But b'hu, as long as shalei yisorah ben shumayim b'olam, as long as it was never mixed with any water at all. But if it's mixed with even a minute amount of water, then it could ferment and it'll be the problem of chametz. Halacha gimel, regarding different types of cooking or with boiling hot water or moistening it. One cannot cook wheat in water, like groats, not flour, like these balls of dough, and if you cook, it's going to be full-fledged chametz. But that's if it cracks open inside the cooked dish. And in koilin es abotzik, you cannot fry, roast the dough, b'shemen, and oil ala machbas on the pan. But you could cook bread, meaning the matzah, after it's baked, even if you're going to leave it in water, it's not going to ferment, because it was already baked. Or b'sakemachakoli, you could cook the roasted grain. It was already roasted. Now, if you boil up the water very much so, which is called chalota, then you throw inside the flour, that's actually permitted. Because it's so burning hot that it cooks right away before it ferments. But the custom has already been b'shinner and bavel and b'svard and in Spain, in the whole West, less adab is to make this forbidden. Because maybe the water is not going to be bubbling so much. And again, it might cause chimutz and therefore not to do this at all. It's permitted to cook the grain or the flour, b'meipayas, and fruit juice, b'chein batzik, and the dough, shalosh b'meipayas, which was kneaded with fruit juices, in bishle b'meipayas, if it was cooked with fruit juices, like kalo, alamachvas, b'shemen, or if it was roasted on the pan in oil, and it's mutter permitted, she'meipayas, and machmitz, like we said before, because the fruit juices do not cause fermentation. Halacha hei, caramel, which is the grain that, the stalks that are put over the fire, but they're not really roasted so much, which is singed in the fire, and they grind it. You cannot cook that flour with water, because maybe it really wasn't roasted fully so much in the fire, and there's still a little bit that could be fermented. It comes out, it's going to ferment when you're cooking it. What they would do would be, they would put flour and water and they cook it in the new pots to strengthen it. So you could only cook inside of it baked matzah, shechazu b'tochen oisa, what we call matzah meal. You make flour out of the matzah. You take the matzah that was baked already, so you have no problem with chametz, and then you crumble it, And then you use that for this mixture to cook in the new pots. But roasted flour, toasted flour is forbidden. Maybe it wasn't toasted well. Again, it's going to come to fermentation. You don't mix the barley in the water on Pesach, because they're soft. And it could easily ferment. Then Baal, if you did mix, so Imrafu, if it's so soft, could they that much, Sh'im Hinichan Al Pi'a Biv, that if you'd put it on this bib, which even though the chalas, which they, these racks that they bake the chalas on, Yizbaku, it's so soft that it would crack, had the Elu Asudin, so then they're forbidden, because again, of the problem about chametz. Then Lo Yigil Lefin Yizab, but if they're not that soft, then it will be permitted. We're not concerned that it became chametz. Halacha Zayin, Hachitim, now wheat, which is harder, and it's not as easily fermented as barley, you are allowed to mix it in water. Why would they mix it with water anyways? To get rid of the bran that's the husk on the outside. And you grind it right away. It's like the way they grind the fine flour. But already has been the custom of all Jewish people, Beshinner and Bubble, Be'eretz Tzvi, and in Eretz Yisrael, Be'safar, and in Spain, and in the western city, not to mix the wheat with the water, because there is the kriyshem yishu b'yachmitzu, you might delay it there, and then it'll ferment. Halacha chas, tavshol shen esbashol. Regarding a cooked dish, v'nimtzu bo'i so'idim achidim, you find this cooked dish, barley or wheat. So in this baku, if that raw barley cracked, how do you call it tavshol, so the whole dish is forbidden, shodein nesadah by chametz, because if it cracked, it means say fermented, and you have chametz mixed into this dish. But it didn't crack open the kernel. You take it out and you burn it. But you can eat the rest of the cooked dish. Because the grain that gets mixed in that didn't crack, it's not chametz gamash alter. It's not biblical full-fledged chametz. It's only rabbinically forbidden. And therefore, we're not going to make the whole dish forbidden from that mixture. I'll look at this. Because it says in the pasuk in Shemayis, you should safeguard the matzahs. In other words, what it's teaching us is, be careful regarding the matzah, and safeguard it from all elements, all sides of fermentation. Which now the Rambam goes on to explain regarding the obligation to safeguard the grain. Never the sage has said, the person has to be careful regarding the grain, they eat from it on Pesach, no water should come on it after it was harvested. Actually, it shouldn't have any element of fermentation. Now, if you have dog in it, but manahar, let's say you have grain that fell into the river, or water poured or fell on it. So, kashem just like you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to hold on to it because the moisture brings it to fermentation. This is talking about before Pesach. Rather, what you do is you sell it to a Jew and you let him know that they should eat it before Pesach. Now, if you're selling it to a non-Jew before Pesach, you should sell a little bit of quantity to every single non-Jew, not a lot, that it should be used before Pesach, because maybe the non-Jew is going to go then sell it to another Jew. So it should be a little quantity that will be eaten before Pesach, because or else that Jew might have unknowingly the fermented flour, and it will be chametz for him on Pesach. Halacha Yud. Dogon shenofel lo delef. Someone has grain that there's a drip that keeps dripping into the grain. As long as it's perturbed, drop after drop, even if it's dripping into the flour all day, it's not going to come to fermentation because it keeps on contracting it, constricting it from fermenting. When it stops, if it delayed the amount of time that we'll say in halacha gimel, which is a shir of a mil, that it can ferment, then it's going to be forbidden because all that water that's inside of it. Halacha Yud Aleph continues regarding the need to be careful regarding when you're kneading it in the time of that it could ferment. In Lashon BaPesach, you don't need a dough on Pesach, a large dough, because it's too big. Shematach, it might ferment. Elikashir Chala Bilvad, rather the amount that it would obligate one in the measurement of separating a portion that's called Chala to give to the Kayim, that's the maximum quantity. And in Lashon, you don't need it lebechamen, that will warm water, lebechamen, not things that would water that would heat up in the sun. Not even water that was drawn that day. What's called the water that was left overnight, meaning you draw the water by sundown and you leave it overnight in the house, because in the time in the month of Nisan, the sun goes very low down, very close to the water, and it heats up the water on the ground. So therefore, you have to go ahead and draw the water and leave it overnight so that it should cool off. Now, the mav of lash ba'achem mekalelu, and if someone violated this and needed in water from any of these that we mentioned, harei pasasur, the bread's going to be forbidden. We're concerned that it's chametz. Halachid beis leisei shev isha tachas hashemesh besolish. Neither should a woman sit beneath the sun and be kneading the dough. And Belitachas Rekibim Ovman, not even beneath the sky when it's a cloudy day, because the nature of the sun is that it actually strengthens where it's able to get past the clouds. It'll be even stronger. And Afil B'makom Shein Hashemesh Zorachas, but even if it's a place where the sun is not shining over there, neither should she leave the dough for a moment and go be engaged in something else in the middle. And now, if she was kneading and baking at the same time, she has to have two vessels of water. One that she smears the dough with, a different one to cool down the hands in that water. Now, if she buys it and she kneads the dough beneath the sun, or she didn't cool off her hands, or she made a dough more than the measurement of challah, in all these cases, a pasul mutar, the bread is going to be permitted, because all these are only initial concerns, but they're not that we're saying it's for sure fermented. Now, how much is the measurement of challah, which is the maximum amount of dough you should make on Pesach? It's around 43 and a fifth eggs. If you're evaluating the measurement of a medium-sized egg, meaning not like its weight, because the weight and the measurement is not the same, we go based on the midah, not the mishkal. Halachid gimel. As long as a person is busy with the dough, even if he's baking it all day, in the bowl, it's not going to come to fermentation, because the engagement prevents it from fermenting. But if he lifts up his hand and he leaves it, the dough remains there until it's going to reach that it's going to make noise. When the person's going to bang on the dough, it's been making noise, that's a sign that it already fermented. It has to be burnt right away. Now, but if it doesn't make noise, so it depends. If he delayed the amount of time that it takes a person to walk a mill, which is the measurement of 2/5 of an hour, 24 minutes, kvar hechmetz, already fermented, v'yisarf miyad, and has to be burnt right away. If it turned white, like a person that his hair stands on end, which is like in fright, is turning white, again, it's forbidden to eat it, but you're not going to have cars, but we have to consider this as chametz. Halach yudaled. If there were two doughs, now, he lifted up his hands from both of them at the same time when he was kneading it. And he let it sit there. Now, when he does the test, one of them makes sound, where this is obviously that a mill of time has not passed, the other one doesn't make noise. For both of them to be burned. But they're considered full-fledged chametz, because although one is not passing that test, but they were both at the same amount of time, and therefore we have to assume that they're both chametz. Halach d'zvav. Ein oisin srikin hametzion b'pesach. Can't make the different graven images into the dough on Pesach. Because the woman's going to delay making those images. Or mischamtzin b'esas yasin, it's going to ferment when she's doing that. The figure of the bakers are permitted to do it. Because they're proficient and professional in their job. And they're swift to do it. And it's not going to cause the problem chametz. But homeowners are forbidden. And even if they're making the figure with a print, with an image that just plants on it, because others might not realize that. And they're going to do it without that form. And the Yishu Bas Yasin Vachmitzu, and they're going to delay doing it, and it's going to ferment if we don't let it by a non-professional at all. Halacha design. Mayim Sherechetzin Behen. Regarding water that was used to wash Hayadayim, the hands, Varebo, the trough, Achash Lashon, after they kneaded inside of it. Ovechein Mayim Shemeshtamish Ben Meshas Lisha, also to the water that they utilize when they're kneading the dough. So these all have flour inside of it. That is Yishpach Isin B'Mokam Midrin. You should pour it out in a place where there's a decline, because they should escape to B'Mokam Echad B'Yachmet, so that it shouldn't just gather one place and it's going to ferment. So to avoid that, you let it go where it's going to scatter and go down that ravine. Halach Yitzayin contains regarding being careful with even a bran of fermenting. So ain't shaydin as a mursan, you cannot soak the bran, which they used to do, manichin lefnei ta'an agon, and put it in front of the chickens, because shem yachmetz, it might ferment, there's elements of wheat over there. Aval choltin lehen amursan bereischin, but you could go ahead and make this boiling hot water that you put the bran inside of it, because then it's not going to ferment, and then you can put it in front of them. But the custom of most of the world already is not to do this chalata, because if you don't boil up really well, it's not going to be that boiling hot, it will allow it to ferment. And therefore, to avoid that, they don't do this at all. It's permitted to knead for the chickens, mursun the kemach, bran or flour, machil miyad, and feed them right away, or to put in front of them. But the women alone, they're standing over them, until they don't delay the amount of time to walk that 18 minutes, 24 minutes, the amount of a mil. Now, as long as they're pecking at it, or he's turning it over with his hands, that's not going to allow it to ferment anytime it's being handled. And when they finish eating, they should wash out the vessel with water. Again, the yishbach b'makamidrim is poured out in a place where there's an incline so that it doesn't gather in one place and ferment. Halachit test. Letishra isha mursin. A woman should not soak bran. Shatelich b'yodol merchaz that she's going to take with her hands to the bathhouse, which they would use in the bathing process. But what she could do, she could take the bran and scrape it on her flesh when it's dry, because although the person sweats, the sweat would not cause fermentation. So to v'layilas odem chitin, the person cannot chew on wheat, v'yitin amakasa, to put it for medicinal purposes on their wound, nishmach mitzis, because it's going to ferment. You can't put flour into the chareses, which is a mixture of different types of fruits, which has water inside of it, because it's going to ferment. And if you did put inside of it, it has to be poured right away. Because it's quick to ferment. You can't put flour into the mustard, because even though, and that's actually the second half of the loch, if you did put it, you could eat it right away, because it's so strong. It doesn't ferment so fast. Still, you're not allowed to, but if you did, then it's not automatically chametz. You could eat it if you eat it right away. Lachachav, regarding spiced matzah and what's called matzah ashira, which is enriched matzah with other things besides the water. So, mutalitin hatvon, you're permitted to put spices, mashum shim in the sesame seeds, by ketzach and poppy seeds, the kids, and similar things, the techabatzak into the dough that you're making over Pesach, this matzah. You're also allowed to knead the dough with water and oil, or divash v'chalav, or honey and milk, or lekataben, or to smear it. Now, however, on the first day, in other words, the first night for the first kazayas, also lola shulakatav. Then you're not allowed to knead, you're not allowed to smear it with any other el b'mayim bavad, only with water. Now, lo yishum chametz, not because it's going to ferment, as we said. El kedeshi lechem ani, we have to have what's called the poor man's bread for the kazayas of matzah, and on the first night, and adding any of these things is not like the poor man's bread anymore. Now, ubiyam yishum bavad, which are tzarach li, is zirchen lechem ani. It's only on the first day that you need to have this memory of the poor man's bread. Halacha Chavav concludes with the halachas of Hechsher Kalim regarding kashering, preparing, and validating the vessels that it shouldn't have a problem of chametz of a Pesach. So kol kli cheres, any earthenware vessel, shenestamish ben chametz betzayin, that was utilized for chametz with cold, mutal estamish ben matzah betzayin, you're allowed to use it over Pesach for matzah with cold, chutz mikli shemenich meza sa'ar, except for the vessel that you put the sa'ar, which is the yeast, the leavening, the vessel they put the chareis in the shechemutzah kosher, because their chametz is very harsh, and even though it's cold, it'll still affect the vessel. And so too the troughs, shaloshim and chametz that you need inside of them the chametz, and you leave it until it ferments. That's just like the place of where the yeast is. And that you're not use on Pesach at all, even for cold. And of course, these are all because of taste, transfers of taste, which usually with cola doesn't, but these things, when they're very strong, it could do that even in cold. Biv shel cheres. What's a biv of earthenware? It's sha'ifin alav chalis chametz kalashan kula. These are the trays that they bake the chalis of chametz all year round. Ein ifin alav matzah pesach. Not bake matzah on it on Pesach, because it emits the taste of the chametz, it absorbed, and it gets absorbed in the matzah. Even though you heat up in the fire before you bake it, that will not kasher it, because the absorbed tastes are on the inside, and you heat it up from the outside. But if you fill it up with coals, the hisik makom shoyim mevashal by chametz, and you heat up the place where you actually cook the chametz in the inside, then that's kashering, and mutal levashal matzah, then you'd be able to cook on it the matzah, because what's called kabbalah kachpolte, the way it absorbed is how you're emitting it now, and that's what kashering is. Which, because you heat up on the inside, and now you're kashering on the inside too. Halacha chav gimel. Kli matoches, metalware, or kli avonim, and stoneware, shenashtamash ben chametz, b'reischin, b'kli vishin, that was utilized for chametz in boiling hot in the first vessel, which is the primary vessel that's on the fire itself. Kagoin, kedetos, vilpasin, pots, and pans. Oh, so these are really absorbing with heat that gets absorbed into the pot. So if you want a kasher, you want to use it for Pesach, you put that vessel into a boiling hot pot of water, and you fill water over it, and then you boil it up, this vessel, inside what we call hagala, inside the pot, So the bigger pot, until it emits the taste it absorbed, which is in this hot thing that the way it was originally used. And then you go ahead and you wash it out with cold water. That's the reason why you cool it off. It's because if you don't do this, then there's a concern they might reabsorb the forbidden tastes that are in the hot water that's on it. And then mishtamash b'matzah, then you could use it for matzah. So to the knives. You boil up the blade and the handle in the first vessel, which is this hot pot that we're describing. Metalware, metalware, stone, and wooden vessels. That was utilized for chametz in a secondary vessel, which is that you poured hot chametz from a kli rishon onto, let's say, like plates and cups, which are not put on the fire itself, but you could pour boiling hot things into them, so it's a secondary vessel. So what you do is you put it into a large vessel, and you put on it boiling hot water from a first vessel, because that's the same thing. It's eerie, what's called pouring kli rishon, because the way this secondary vessel got was from pouring from a hot vessel. So that's the same thing. You could kashu by pouring over boiling hot water, and you leave it inside of it until it emits the forbidden taste of chametz. Then you wash it out with cold water, and you could utilize it for matzah. Any earthenware vessel that was utilized for chametz with hot water, whether a first degree vessel, for example, kederes that we spoke about, pots, or whether a secondary vessel, going cars like plates, whether it was covered and plated with lead, that they make it like glass, whether it was just left earthenware as it is. But any earthenware vessel, you cannot utilize it with matzah, because the Torah itself testifies that earthenware vessels that absorbs remains forbidden, because it's never going to fully emit the forbidden taste that it absorbed. You could just leave it till after Pesach, and then you could cook with it, but over Pesach it's forbidden. Kli rishon, a primary vessel, that he wants to boil it up, but he didn't find a big enough pot to put this big pot that he cooks in to boil up inside of it. So what he could do is, harizah makivli suffishal tit. So what he could do is, he could surround a lip of clay, al-sfasai, on the edge of this pot that you want to kasher, mibachutz, from the outside. Umamalei umayim, and you fill up from the inside the pot with water, achigbra mayim al-sfasai, until the water bubbles up over the edge. Umarticha mayim betoich v'dayi, and it heats up the water inside of it, and that is enough, because that's also kabbalah kachpolta, because just like it absorbed by the whatever's on the top, whatever got was only by this bubble spraying on the edge, so too that's how it's going to be emitting it right now, because anyways don't heat up on the outside, it's from the inside, that's getting bubbled with the hot water inside. And then you wash it out, and then you can utilize it with matzah over Pesach.